So I've got a special journal with me tonight. This journal has one page for every day of the rest of your life. One page. And on that, each page, it tells you where to go, tells you what to do, tells you who to talk to, tells you what to say. And God gave me this journal. So you don't have to answer the question, but how many of you would love to own this journal? Perfect. That is great. Now, I asked myself that question and I thought, you know, there are days. Definitely there are days. This has been one of those weeks where there have been days. Absolutely. But the truth is, God didn't do that for us. He gave us the Bible, which absolutely speaks to us through. But He left a lot of our life a mystery. And He left who we are a mystery. And He did that for a reason. He did that because He wants relationship with us. And He can't have relationship with us if we are just directed to do this, 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 and this. So we've been talking about calling, and our calling is all about relationship with God. It's all about us reflecting the image and the picture of God's heart. So tonight we're going to wrap up by taking a view that we're going to pull back a little bit. We've talked the last few weeks about some specifics. We've talked about warfare, and we've talked about spent a lot of time with desire and some of these component parts to calling. So tonight we're going to wrap up with just a bit of a recap, pull some of these pieces in and look at the larger picture again of calling, because calling, I know, is a very abstract concept, and there's a lot of different definitions out there, and I still feel like there may be a little bit of a gray area surrounding this concept of calling. So we're going to try to bring some final clarity to everything we've talked about tonight. And we're going to do that in the context of journey. And if you remember way back in week two, Mike talked about journey a little bit, and we're going to do that because journey is at the core of our relationship with God. It's at the core of our calling, and so we're going to hang everything on this idea of journey, and we're going to do this in picture form. So those of you who love graphs and pictures and different things like that, you're going to love this. Those of you who don't, sorry. Sit by somebody who does, so they'll explain it to you. So, calling. We're going to look at the path to your calling. We're going to pull everything together and look at the path to our calling. So, we have a story. Our story that we're living in, regardless of what we think about it, we're all living a story. Everything in this life revolves around story. Your story may be that your teenager came home and wrecked the car. Your story may be that you're moving to Africa or anything in between. But we're all living in story. And if you remember, that is one of the component parts of the GPS coordinate that Mike talked about on the second week that allow us to orient ourselves within this thing that we're talking about with calling. And we have our glory on the other axis here, the Y axis. And I think that's probably appropriate because sometimes I ask myself, Lord, why? Really? So our glory is going to be the Y tonight. But if you remember, our glory is that thing about us that reflects who we are. It reflects who we are in God. It reflects His heart for us when He designed us. So back in the time before time when God said, Carrie Mineta, you're going to be this man, He placed a glory in you that's very unique to you. unique to, and I've heard this week somebody mentioned that it's been estimated there's been 120 billion people living on this earth from the time of creation until now. And what's amazing in that is of those 120 billion people, every single one has been unique. And it's because each one of us have a reflection of a part of God. And that actually gives you a great perspective just on the vastness of who God is. That 120 billion people can all uniquely reflect his being and still not even come close to really how amazing and just how large God is. And then journey. Again, your life. But we're looking at this in the context of spiritual journey, because our spiritual journey with God is what we're after. It's what he's after. So Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And I love this verse because in just those short few words, it gives such an incredible picture of God's heart for us within the context of our spiritual journey. I mean, the Lord's telling us, I will instruct you and I'll teach you. I mean, that's the heart of a father. He wants to father you. And I will counsel you a little bit deeper, a little bit more intimate relationship, and I'll watch over you. He wants to care for us. So we're not alone on our journey. We are absolutely on a journey with the Father. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. So the journey that we're on is one of ever increasingness towards that glory, towards the brightness of who we are in God and how we were created to reflect the heart of God. So as we journey with him through this life, we are on a path towards an ever brighter reflection of that picture of God. So tonight we're going to look at a man who is on a journey. And this guy finds himself in the middle of a story, finds himself in the middle of a journey that he probably never expected in his life. This man's name is Corporal Opham. And how many of you have seen Saving Private Ryan? So most of you. For those of you who haven't, the movie is basically about a group of men headed by Captain Miller, played by Tom Hanks. And Captain Miller has been, they've gone through D-Day. This begins about D plus one, I think. Shortly after D-Day, the invasion beachhead's established. Captain Miller is a company commander, about 160 guys in charge of. And they pull him out of that assignment and they give him a squad. And they tell him, this guy, Private Ryan, you need to go find him. He's a paratrooper. He's been dropped somewhere behind enemy lines. We have no idea where. But he had three other brothers that were in the service. They were all killed. And we feel like we need to get this guy out for his family's sake. So Captain Miller and his squad are tasked with this. So the clip we're going to take a look at is where Captain Miller is just getting his final member of his squad, who is Corporal Opham. So let's go ahead and take a look at that.
Yes, sir.
can I take my typewriter? Yeah, there's Germans. I think I'll type them to death, or, I don't know, throw it at them. Yeah, Opham has definitely found himself in the middle of a story. And just from the first look, whose story do you think Opham's been living in? He's been living in his own story. He's been living in a very small story that's been defined by 20 feet by 20 feet square of sandbagged forms and triplicate. And Opham pretty quickly finds himself in something that he really didn't expect. And I'm sorry I didn't mention this is Wednesday night, so we have the unedited version of Private Ryan. But, story, his motivation. What was Opham's motivation? When he's living in his own story, what's he trying to do? You know, first thing, whoa, wait a minute, Neuville, there's Germans there, right? Lots of Germans. Yeah, I mean, so his motivation, he's motivated by himself. I mean, he wants safety. I'm doing good behind the enemy lines. I don't need to really go do this, and I'm certainly not the guy that you probably want, because I type and, you know, I translate, I interpret, but I'm happy in my own story. So, risk. I mean, how risky is it to move out of your story, out of your small story? It feels very risky. It feels like you're probably stepping into something that you have no idea where it's going to take you. And how often do you feel like Opham? Feel like you're the guy in the middle of the battle carrying a typewriter? So Opham living in his own story. But he's finding himself with an assignment. And we've talked about assignments that are stops that God will stop us at. He'll take us to different places to let our glory land. So Opham is finding himself on an assignment that is not by his own choosing. He doesn't have a lot of choice. We do. We have a choice. If God moves us into a certain place, we can choose to stay in our own story. We can choose to live in that place of comparative safety. It feels like a safe place, and great, I'm going to stay here, I'm going to type, I'm going to translate documents and maps, and I'm good. But that's really not what God has for us. He's wants more for us. So, assignments. Opham finds himself moving into something larger. But we talked about week four, Joel talked about enemy resistance. Now, Opham pretty quickly was running into what we all run into when we try to move out of small story and into God's story. One of the first things that the enemy is going to try is we're not qualified. First thing Opham says was, whoa, wait a minute, did you catch that? I just translate and I just, you know, do maps, and I'm not a soldier. And Tom Hanks is speaking into that, well, whoa, wait a minute, you got the uniform on, you know how to fire your rifle, yeah, you are a soldier. But Opham definitely does not believe that, and he's certainly not going to buy into it. So whenever we move out of story, out of our own story, and we start to move into God's story, and we start to take a spiritual journey, there is an enemy that becomes very activated. And for every motion, for every direction that we move forward towards God, there's going to be an equal, tries to be an equal push back, and to push us back to that place. Because the enemy does not want, absolutely does not want you to take that journey at all. He wants you to stay right where you've been and has no interest in seeing you pursue this journey with God. Matthew 13:37, in this verse, this series of verses, Jesus is talking to the disciples about the parable of the weeds. And he says, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. The enemy that we fight, the enemy that we have in this world, knows all this. He knows that the harvest of the end of the, at the end of the age is coming. And every time he can keep us pushed back into our story, keep us from activating our glory in God's story, he's won a small victory, because we are instrumental in this process. I mean, this is where our calling is. This is the core of our calling. We are basically designed by God to step into this story, land our glory in the world, so we can really help God on his mission to restore the lost. And the enemy would love to see as many weeds as possible at the end of the age. So we're going to take another look at Opham. And in this clip, Opham is finding himself in a little bit larger story yet. So let's go ahead and look at that, and then we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. You all right?
So Opham has definitely found himself in a much larger story at this point. And it's bigger than he expected. And it came time for his test, for him to step in. And he didn't do it. He had a movement definitely up the line. He was definitely moving into larger story, but definitely was not arriving in any kind of strength. He knew what he needed to do, but he didn't do it. And I mean, just the picture of that hesitation on the stairs just lands. I mean, how many times do you feel like you know what you need to do? You're lifting your feet, it feels like your boots are 30 pounds, and you feel like Opham. And did you notice as the SS trooper comes down, this guy, I mean, he's the elite, he's a Waffen SS trooper, and he walks down the stairs, and what's the tactic? You're not even worth it. You are not even worth my time. Why would I waste a bullet on you? He walks by and dismisses him. The enemy tries to do that with us. He tries to get us to believe that who we are is just not even worth his time, so why bother? And that resistance, as we move more into large story, becomes just that much greater because the enemy doesn't want us to step in. Because what we're looking at up there is a picture of what we are living. The picture of that D-Day invasion with the forces of freedom invading to free these oppressed nations living under darkness, that's what we're living in. And our calling is designed for us to take a part in that invasion, because God is invading this world and he's called us to land who we are in that story, in that invasion. And if we don't continue up the stairs and land that strength for somebody else, for others, there's going to be casualties. Because, as we talked about before, every one of us has a uniqueness. Every one of us has a part to play. We're not cookie cutter humans. God made each one of us with something very special, something very unique to ally with him. So we're going to take another look, one last point on that. 2 Corinthians 1:8 says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." And part of that journey up the stairs is in the strength that God gives us, because we can't do it on our own. That's why it's a journey with God. It's why we're allied with God. Our strength comes through him. And we go through these assignments that we've been talking about because it strengthens us. It builds something up in us, and God develops things in us to allow us to have the strength to take the steps up the stairs and land who we are for other people and for others. So, one last look at Opham. This clip is shortly after he found himself frozen on the stairs. He's left the building and he's back down on the main street finds himself in a crater, shell crater, and he's kind of watching the battle go on. So let's go ahead and watch that one. So now we're getting somewhere. Opham finds himself on the stairs again. He's back. He's back in a place where he's got another decision to make. But the experiences that he's gone through have changed him. He's finding that he's a different man. And now we see he's even further into the story. And he's decided to step back into his glory, step back into becoming the man of strength that he was designed to be. And we see that now this has developed a desire in him. He wants to be that guy. He doesn't want to be the man who's sitting frozen on the stairs anymore. And did you see the part where he's watching the SS troopers shoot first the one American soldier and then Captain Miller? And it's a cool scene because you can kind of see his face change in that. And at that moment, you can tell that he decides, you know what, I am not going to be the guy on the stairs anymore. I know that there's something in me. I know there's more. I know that I have a part to play here, and it's time for me to step up and step out. And he does that. The experiences that he's gone through have developed his character. They've developed the strength in him. Mark talked last week about our journey into strength and our journey into this character development that allows us to really become the man that God designed us to be. And through the picture we've seen of Opham, that's the process that God takes us through. He takes us through different experiences so he can speak to us. And it gives us the opportunity to step into higher levels of responsibility. He gives us more and more of the story. He gives us a bigger part of the story to play as he journeys us through this. And he does this through revelation, the fourth GPS coordinate point that Mike talked about. God will bring up desire in us, and he will allow us to go through situations that develop strength and character within us so that we're ready. When it comes time to step up with the rifle on the enemy, we're ready to do it. And it's a transition in story from self to selflessness. And somebody was talking with me the other day and they mentioned, yeah, it's kind of like going into a tunnel and you see this bright light behind you, and it feels comfortable, and the further you go, it's just a pinpoint of light ahead of you, but as you continue and the closer you get to that, it becomes brighter, and what you left behind fades away into the darkness. And that's really what our journey into God's story looks like. It looks like the idea that we're moving from self-focused into a selfless, larger story perspective. And this idea of risk, it's an interesting thing because it takes a shift. And all of a sudden, you're not thinking risk in terms of protect myself and stay in a comfortable place and stay in a comfortable story with the sandbags around me and the typewriter in front of me. All of a sudden, it becomes too risky to step out of God's story. And with Opham, we saw all of a sudden it was too risky for him to not do what he needed to do, because he saw what happened when he didn't step in. He didn't kill. He didn't go help his friend in the building, and the SS trooper left and walked down, took out a couple more of his guys. And at that moment, he decided, you know what? It's not worth it. It is not worth living in my own story and watching casualties falling left and right around me. And did you see the final piece of enemy resistance there? You know, the SS trooper again. Opham. You know, he's trying his best to get Opham to think he's still the guy with the typewriter. And I love the final shot, because when we journey into this story and we journey into becoming the men that God designed us to be, we have the power to pull the trigger, and we don't have to deal with an enemy that dictates to us how to live and what to do and where to go. We now have the ability to put your heel on the enemy. I mean, that is part of that strength that God is developing within us. So we can stand up and fight, because we've already won this battle. It's just a matter of us believing it and stepping into it. So this is a picture of calling. Calling is not a job. Calling is not a position. Calling is you landing the weight of your glory in a world that desperately needs you to impact God's kingdom. Simple as that. That's your calling. 2 Corinthians 3:18, I love this verse, says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." That verse is really kind of a great summary of what we've been talking about, because as we journey, as God journeys us, our faces are becoming unveiled, and our glory that God placed in us is becoming more and more apparent to the world. And, you know, back to Proverbs 4:18, that path is getting brighter and brighter as that process happens, and as we're being transformed into the likeness of God. So, where do we go from here? I think I'm going to take a bit of a change of direction and tell you a quick story. My uncle, Ron, was, as I was growing up, he lived pretty close to us, a few blocks away. And I grew up doing a lot of things. Our families did a lot of things together. I did a lot of things with my cousins, and we camped together, spent time together, holidays, just family time. And I remember my uncle he worked at Boeing, the 2 to midnight, or whatever that is. Is that second shift? Any Boeing guys here? I think second shift. Anyway, it's the one that gets you home at 1 in the morning. And I remember throughout a lot of my childhood, he was always fairly people-oriented, but there was always a tension. There was always seemed like there was a little bit of stress, and he was fairly sometimes quick to anger. I know we'd always go camping, and We always camped in Western Washington. Always rained, of course. Middle of summer, Seattle area, it's raining. And it wasn't his favorite thing to camp in the rain. And he was always going to fix the problem, so he was the blue tarp guy. I mean, he'd pull blue tarps out, and we'd have canvas tarps and things stretched all over everything. But I remember he was not exactly happy in that. I mean, it wasn't a happy experience for him. So a number of years ago, it's probably been, 20 years ago, I guess now, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the base of his brain and down into his spine. And he had a couple surgeries, and basically they said, you know what, there's nothing we can do about it. It just keeps growing. Although it did finally stop, but it affected him physically. He was eventually not able to walk, lived pretty much life in a wheelchair, still lived at home with my aunt. But it got to a point where she was really unable to take care of him, and he had to move into a rest home. And so he lived a number of years in Monroe in a rest home. And it was interesting because I noticed a change in him. I noticed that he was no longer, over time, this guy who felt like he had a short fuse and there was just this simmering something underneath. I could see that he became much more who God designed him to be. And I heard stories of people that worked in the rest home that would talk about him and just loved being around him. He had an incredible impact on people, on the people that cared for him and also other residents. And towards, for the last few years, he really, really, I think, landed that presence in that place. And this Friday, he passed away. But I think for me, the takeaway from his life is that your calling is landing who you are wherever God has you. You know, he was not called to be in a rest home. He didn't have a special skill that was required in the rest home. I mean, I'm certain that it wasn't in his plan to find himself in a rest home when he was in his 60s at all. But as he journeyed through that time, God used him. And that's your calling. That's a picture of your calling. Wherever you find yourself, wherever God has you, land who you are, because life is short and there's a lot to do, and the Lord has things that he would love to ally with you on in that time that we're here. I have a quote. Let me just get through a couple of these things real quick here. William Marston said, "On the plains of hesitation, bleach the bones of countless millions who, on the threshold of victory, sat down to wait, and in waiting, died." And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the guy who sits down and waits. I don't want to be the guy who waits for the revelation from God next year or the year after. I want to be the guy who steps into my calling tonight, tomorrow, immediately. Because the fact is, we don't have to do anything special to be allied with God and live in this. We just need to live life the way He's designed us to live and seek Him, and He's going to be more than happy to take that journey with you. So if I could have Mark and Randy, where's Randy, and Mike, come up here real quick. Since we're wrapping up tonight, I just want to share a little bit, have the other men's team guys share just a little bit about what this series has looked like for them, and while they're finding stools here. I know for me it's been very impactful. We talked about it at the beginning. We're taking this journey with you guys. And for me, some of the exercises, I think one of the most impactful one, actually there was a couple. The first was the 180-word list we did. And then the things that we love and the things that we hate to do. I did that list, and then I did that, you know, what do I love to do, what do I hate? And I looked at that and thought, whoa, I am not the man I thought I was. Because half the list of things that don't bring life, that suck the life out of me, are the things that I always thought were me. And the things on the list that bring life, I always thought, oh, that's not me. I don't want to do that at all. And it's given me a change of perspective at this point to where I really am just, I don't know what the Lord has in mind, but He's really opened my eyes. And I'm excited about where that might go. You know, unfortunately, the journal was just a prop. I don't have the little page that says tomorrow I'm going to do this and this. But you know what? I'm really happy with that, because the mystery and the adventure of the journey with God is absolutely something that I would not change for anything. So, guys, whoever wants to step in first, I'd love to hear how this impacted you.